This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, hour number 2704. It is the Boomer and Geo program, built for Tough Studio, 888-808-1019. Good Lord. TV. Thanks, guys, on TV, putting up the little photo.
Happy birthday, nice. Jerry. How old are you, Jerry?
51, yes.
Wow.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that, sir. It's very nice to spend the day with you.
Are you doing anything special for your birthday?
Nope. I did not. That is not true. That was another day. No, my son's got his first freshman high school baseball game today, so that's how I will spend the day.
Wow, they're already starting baseball.
Yeah, exhibition games, yeah.
Okay.
Exhibition game. Then the real season will begin, I guess, first week of April.
I guess you're going to have a nice day today.
Gorgeous, 60 degrees.
Okay, good.
Not too bad. I told you, winter was over a month ago. So we are right in the middle of spring
now. We'll see.
Right in the middle of spring. So as we wrapped up the show yesterday, and we did a lot of football yesterday, but something came to mind, and you said, I'm going to save it for tomorrow because we didn't have enough time.
Yes.
So explain to the audience, football-wise, what you were teasing yesterday at 9:59.
Well, two things in particular. You know, as the Giants are waiting for their quarterback, you know, I did send two of my Giant fan friends kind of a synopsis of their free agent signings thus far and how it was a positive synopsis that I sent to them. And I just wanted to brighten their day, saying, hey, maybe the Giants are doing the right thing here. You know, they're signing some defensive people, like, you know, where you really, you know, real need type players. You know, they're not highlight real players. They're not going to be headline players. They're just trying to do the right thing to backfill their roster with who they think are quality football players to help you become better. And, man, the amount of stuff coming back at me that was so negative. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I was trying to brighten your days. I didn't realize this was going to be an onslaught of just negativity coming back at me.
Giant fans are fed up.
I know. So now I transitioned to the Jet fan. And as I've been telling you now for about a week, the Jets organization is going through a doge of itself. It is being basically culled right now to figure out what they want to do. Are they too bloated? Are there too many people over there? And, you know, as I understand it, I think Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson are being good to their employees, giving them opportunities to leave on their own accord and being compensated very well. So I think it's a very nice thing to do if you're going to do it. You don't have to do it that way, but it seems like they're doing it that way. And there's a whole different shift and feel around the New York Jets. So if you are a New York Jet fan, I think you should be happy about that in terms of there's a real level of seriousness and competition that's coming in here. And it seems like when you look at who the Jets have signed free agent-wise, I believe they have signed 11 free agents that are not of their own from other teams. And the Giants, I believe, have signed 10 free agents that are not of their own that are from other teams. And both teams have been like under-the-radar signings, cornerbacks, defensive tackles, maybe a backup offensive lineman here, another backup offensive lineman there, trying to rebuild with some new faces and to bring in some guys that they think that are going to be, you know, significant supporters as this season, starts in September. So for me, I think that they've done all the right things. I don't think that they're trying to win the offseason. I think they're trying to create competition at certain positions. And I think that Aaron Glenn, I'm telling you, is going to reignite this competitive spirit within that building. And that's a big part of what they're trying to do right now in the offseason.
It's almost as if they are not tearing down the roster. You know, a lot of people want teams to start over and start from the bottom. It sounds to me like, and appears from what I see too, that they have kept a lot of talent on the roster while trying to start from the beginning in terms of the feel of the organization and the feel of the team.
Like, I think the Jets, they were not barren of talent. I think Joe Douglas did a really good job of building the team. You know, this Olu Fashanu, who we drafted last year, looks like he's going to be a really good player. They do have a number of offensive linemen that they can build around. They'll probably draft a couple more. But I do think that there are defensive players on this team. I think some of these players are a little bit, hyped on themselves too much. But I guess if I were an all-pro player twice and my name was Sauce Gardner, I think I'd be pretty high on my abilities.
No doubt. And you mentioned Fashanu. You know what's interesting, too? When you look at both teams, I'm not saying either team was going to the playoffs or was going to be a good team, but when Fashanu got hurt, there was a sense that the Jets were starting to play better, and a lot of that was coming from the line play up front. I mean, he got hurt and things went in the tank largely. If you look at when Andrew Thomas went out too, the Giants went from a competitive team to just nothing.
Yeah, and plus their quarterback situation was
got worse style, for sure. But part of that could be also the fact that Andrew Thomas was lost for the season. The way Fashanu went out of the game, for the season later in the year.
Yeah, so I would just say that, like, again, to go back to the free agent signings for both teams, it's not eye opening. They haven't guaranteed an enormous amount of money, like $250 million to players that hadn't been here. I mean, they're careful in their spending. I think they're gonna. You know, the Giants is going to be an interesting thing, what they're going to do with the third pick, depending on what the Browns and what Tennessee does. And like we were talking about Todd McShay yesterday saying that Shedeur Sanders could be in play for the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, if Tennessee takes Cam Ward and the Cleveland Browns basically take Shedeur Sanders, if you're the New York Giants, you will have the opportunity to draft the best player in this draft. Most people, and I'm one of those people, think it's Abdul Carter from Penn State. That guy is a game-changing edge rusher, and we can all see it on the field. Now, I know he's got a foot issue that he had at the combine, and then the next best player would probably be Travis Hunter. I don't know who or what you would think would be more apropos for the Giants. I guess they would love to get another cornerback back there that would be somebody that would be a ball hawk like Travis is.
And would he play both ways like he did in college?
I think they'd start him on defense and then they'd have packages for him on offense.
Like what the Cowboys did with Deion back in the day.
I think that's what they would try to do, but maybe a little bit more on offense. Mm. Maybe, 10, 12 plays, and then he wouldn't come off the field at all on defense, assuming he can handle both. But he's got to learn the pro game first at one position. Let him learn that, and then as he gets more comfortable, then you could explore doing something else on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, so you mentioned Shedeur Sanders, and this is where my confusion comes into play. You look at YouTube just the way I do. You look at Twitter, like X, like we all do, and you, more and more every day, you see one thing as fact and then the opposite as fact. And you don't know what to believe anymore. And I'm not even joking. There's been this push about, eat all protein, no carbs, and you're going to be healthy and you're going to be fit and it's good for your heart. Meantime, on my YouTube feed, lately I'm getting carbs are your friend. Don't listen to the people that tell you carbs are bad. So I bring it back to football. Yesterday, I don't know where I guess it was ESPN. I saw Mel Kiper Jr.
Okay.
Now, for the last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I have seen Shedeur Sanders anywhere in these mock drafts going from 2 all the way down to late in the first round.
Yeah.
I have seen some say Shedeur Sanders is going to be a good pro, to some saying stay away from him. He's not an NFL quarterback. And then yesterday, Mel Kiper, I think, does a pretty good job. Kind of knows the college game, I think. It's what he does for a living. Literally said, he is the best player in this draft. Who is... What?
Yeah, I don't know. I
called him a baller, called him, you know, talked about the, you know, the way he grew up, that head-wise, in the, you know, in terms of being able to handle this market, if it was the Giants,
which is what I've been saying. That's the one thing I know that he can do. He can handle it.
So can he or can't he? Should he or shouldn't be? Because then you've got people that say the Giants would be lucky if Sanders and Ward go 1-2 so they don't get forced into taking quarterback who's not going to be that good. Others are like, they got to trade up to number one to get Cam Ward because he's the... I mean, you want to talk about confusion at the highest of levels.
Right, because there's no... Like, last year, everybody knew Caleb, Jaden, and Drake. They knew. They knew the three. They knew that they were going to go three. They knew that all the teams at the top of the draft needed quarterbacks. I would say that both teams at the top of this draft, or all three teams at the top of this draft, all need a young quarterback to build around. The question is, I think most people do not believe that either one of these guys would be drafted ahead of anyone that was drafted last year, including Bo Nix.
Okay.
All right, and Bo Nix fell, and a number of these teams passed on Bo Nix, but Bo Nix ended up going with the right coach.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the right spot for who he is, the type of athlete he is.
Well, fit is everything, as we've talked about with Darnold, too.
And I just think that whoever the Giants draft, if it is a quarterback, it's going to be a disaster. Only because there'll be new coaches and a new GM here next year, if that kid has to play.
Right.
Understood. That's kind of the, like we keep saying, the conundrum that the Giants are in. They need to win now, and they're not going to. There's no Jaden Daniels in this draft.
Well, they need to show that they're a winning team. I don't necessarily think that if they don't go to the playoffs that they're like. To me, if the Giants ended up with forget about Aaron Rodgers, let's say it is Jameis Winston, and let's just say even like to me, 6-11 can look one way, and 6-11 can look another way. If you're losing close games and you're competitive, and it looks like the team is starting to play better, and then you've got a young quarterback and waiting in the wings, that's different than being 5-12 and looking like crap.
If you told me they were 7-10 or 8-9, and they showed some signs of development with a quarterback, then I would say, okay, these guys are going to stay. But we've been around here too long, Jerry, watching this, and we have seen over and over and over again, both of these teams, you know, get impatient, end up firing people, hiring the wrong people, thinking that they hired the right people in the first place, and then just turning around and firing them again. And I think it took a lot for John Mara not to, especially after what happened with Saquon Barkley, not to go in there and just absolutely torch the place again.
But if you didn't let them go last year, don't you almost have to give them 2 years with this third pick?
It all depends on how it looks, man. And I'm assuming that they're all in there discussing, is this the right guy? Is this the guy that we want leading our team? If he's there, do we take him? Do we trade up? Do we use assets to get him? You know, if they use assets to go up and get the quarterback that they want, and that quarterback doesn't turn out to be the guy that they think he is, then they're going to be out of a job.
Right, understood. I want to clarify, too. I don't think Kuiper said the best player in the draft. I think he said Shedeur Sanders was the best quarterback in the draft, is what I believe he said.
Drop-back quarterback, pocket passer, you know, all the things that Todd McShay said. I could see that. I mean, but then again, would he have been chosen before any of the guys that went in the first round last year?
Well, no, and we discussed that. I don't think so. And then here's the other thing about the draft, and I've said this, too, over and over. I'm going to give you a little quiz, Eddie. Al, you can jump on this. So let's set the over-under at 2.5. 2021, not that long ago. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Okay, 4 years ago. How many players that the Giants drafted in 2021 do you think are still on their roster? Not 2016, 2021. Over-under 2.5.
Under.
That is true. Al, what do you think? You agree?
I will go under as well.
Not only is it under, the answer is zero. Nobody.
And
when Ojulari went to the Eagles,
right, it's not these guys. These guys didn't do the drafting.
I understand, but what I saw the article in the paper yesterday. So then, what I did, I went down this rabbit hole of trying to find draft analysis. I mean, we're gushing about Kadarius Toney. What a pick! Unbelievable. Ojulari, what a steal! And I told you I liked him. I thought he was a good player. I would have resigned him, but he goes to Philly. None of their guys are here 4 years later.
Yeah.
And we sit here and go bonkers. What are they going to? We can't get rid of a fourth round draft pick. Why not? He's not going to be on your team in 3 years anyway.
Didn't we talk about it 2 days ago? The amount of guys that end up signing second contracts with their teams.
20% or something?
Yeah. And the lower the draft pick, the less likely it is as you go down the draft. And then a free agent coming out of college this year that they sign, maybe one or two of them make it, maybe about a handful are on the practice squad.
Right. Most don't, though.
Most don't.
And I know it's the NFL. I know we love it. And I know the NFL is king right now. But when it comes to the draft, we're all morons. Honestly. No one knows what they're looking at. Nobody knows who's going to. You know, you talk about can't miss with Abdul Carter. And I sure, sounds good to me. Brian Bosworth back in the day was a can't miss player. And what happened to him?
So was Tony Mandrich.
Tony Mandrich. Left tackle. This guy's going to be.
Leaf.
Right. And yeah. And you talk about guys that are picked so high.
It's littered with a million guys that don't make it for whatever reason. There's all sorts of reasons why. Injury is some of it. Some of it's the player himself. Some of it is he and the coach don't get along, or he doesn't fit the scheme that the coach is running on offense and defense, doesn't want to play special teams. There's a million reasons why guys don't make it, and it's usually only one reason why they do make it, and that's because they don't want to fail.
That, and they end up with the right coach and the right system.
But they don't
want to
fail. They just don't want to fail. They just are not going to give in. They're going to bust their ass the whole time and do whatever the coach is asking, and a coach can coach a guy like that.
Well, we'll see who those guys are this year.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Bill Ford, Tough Studio on a Wednesday midweek. Nice to have you with us, Boomer and Geo show. Geo in Florida for a few more days. He will be back on Monday. Chris Lopresti with us this hour once again. Good morning, sir. How be you?
Good morning. I be ornery, just like Boomer, because of the Rangers last night, who actually scored first for a change and quickly.
You know, there were only really two people on the Rangers side of things that showed up last night and actually did their job and did their job excellently.
You've got two on the list?
I do. One is Igor Shesterkin. And the
saves.
Other one is Jade Milan, who sung the national anthems of both countries.
Okay.
She killed it.
Okay. When you said for the Rangers, I thought
she
you were talking
it.
About people in uniform.
Oh, she blew me away, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm into the anthem singers.
Yeah, and she did a great job on both accounts. And by the way, I heard a smattering of booze, not a lot of booze, the Canadian National
Anthem.
Seems like we're over that now.
I hope.
At least down here we are.
Right.
I don't know about up there.
Correct. I'm not sure either.
But Jade killed it last night.
Well, the Rangers didn't kill it. By the end of the first period, they were trailing. Matt Rempe takes a bad elbowing penalty, and a few seconds later, the puck's in the back of the net.
Coronado won the faceoff. He turns and shoots and scores. It started with Coronado winning the faceoff and turning around, getting the shot. And the power play goal by the Flames gives them a 2-1 lead.
Yeah. They could be
the
day,
it's a power play goal, but how is the guy in the middle of the dot? The guy's right in the middle of the 5-man setup for the power play. How is no Ranger near him?
I mean, their defensive zone coverage for most of the year has been porous.
And
Joe Micheletti called it horrible.
Right, and usually when Vincent Trocheck is in there, he passes out of there. He gets a puck in there, he'll pass it out of there.
Have you noticed, since they've come back from Four Nations, he's not been nearly as good on the face.
Yeah, I don't know if he's hurt or whatever. Well, I'm not
really
sure. In
that Four Nations, he got slashed on the hand.
Yeah, I mean, he could be hurt. He could be playing hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, half the team could be playing hurt as far as we're
concerned.
Well,
half the league's playing hurt, you know? I mean,
right, you never know. They don't tell you anything.
Right, upper body or lower body. That's it. Like Arthur Kaliev, all of a sudden, is out for the year. So.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're on the ice and you're in uniform, you're playing.
Right.
You're playing.
Jerry, what could be today? You said to Eddie, could be the day.
The day that he gets his ass kicked by Boomer.
Oh.
Boomer is ornery and pissed off.
And he's a big man, as we learned last time.
And Boomer's a bigger man. Otani!
Oh, right, yeah, what in there told so that is. Look, I wasn't trying to be like insulting to you that we couldn't fit in the, in the capsule that came down yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He and I would have a hard time sitting in coach together. You know, if he had the middle seat and I had like the window seat, forget it.
Legroom rows in coach.
You ever buy two seats?
Coach. No.
To have, not you, I'm talking about the bigger guys in the room, Boomer and Eddie.
No.
You ever buy two seats so you don't have to sit next to somebody? Never.
No.
And you're able to be comfortable on a plane?
Yeah.
Guys.
What?
I mean, look around the world and this country. These are big men. There are bigger people out there
I'm well aware. I'm not calling them enormous men. I just know that they're both bigger than I am, and these seats are tight.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if you ever buy two seats, that's all. Of course, you're in first class. That's just, never mind. I don't even know why I actually asked you.
Right, Eddie on the other hand.
But. By the way, Otani did homer. He hit above the line, apparently. So there you go. 6-2 Dodgers. Next.
Okay. Well, while Jerry watches live baseball, we'll do a little bit more here on last night's Ranger game. One of the lowest scoring teams in the league. Calgary held that 2-1 lead rest of the game, and the Rangers only mounted 13 shots on goal. A bunch of others were blocked or deflected or simply missed the net as they suffered another brutal home loss. Vincent Trocheck, who's become a spokesman for this locker room in the aftermath of the Jacob Trouba trade, short and to the point.
I feel like we just weren't working as a group of five on the ice enough tonight.
That's not what you want. Here's head coach Peter Laviolette. Calgary did everything better than us in this one.
It was not there. There was nothing there. So we're... They were, like I said, they were faster than us. They got to the ice quicker than us. They were more ready. And so that's the way the game played out.
More ready is not a good comment from your coach.
No, it's not. Hardworking team, those Flames, and they came in and outworked.
Yeah.
Honest, sure, yes. But, like, why does this continue to happen this year? What has happened to this group? I need a study done. 10 months ago, Chris Kreider scored a third-period hat trick to advance them from the second round of the playoffs to the third round. And he is a shell of himself now. And I don't want to hear he's hurt, because you watch it, when he needs to get a burst and skate after a puck, he still has the speed. But most of the night, he's just gliding around out there.
Which is really unfortunate, because, you know, he could go down as a great Ranger and should go down as a great Ranger.
It feels like they're heading for just a nasty divorce.
It feels that way. One year left on a very movable contract, and I'm sure somebody would love to have him.
I guess. Not with the way he's played this year, but that could change in the offseason, obviously. Rangers have Toronto at home tomorrow night, and then they host Vancouver Saturday afternoon. Meantime, a second consecutive third-period comeback for the Islanders.
Out of the backcourt. Here's Engvall skating onto it. Scores! Pierre Engvall gives the Islanders the lead as he races onto the puck and beats Jari Lowe.
That's Alan Fuhring, MSGSN, as the Isles erased a 2-0 deficit with four unanswered in the third to beat the Penguins 4-2, just as they did to the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers on Sunday. So back-to-back comeback wins for the Isles. Hoops, the Celtics survived the Nets in Brooklyn Saturday and then completed the home-and-home sweep last night in Boston, minus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Out of the backcourt to White. White runs into two defenders. Jump pass, nearly stolen. Pritchard able to get it away. Front court Horford, the lob for Porzingis, and a two-hand slam. 6-point game.
Chris Carino here on the fan.
So I guess the Celtics treated this like a preseason game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that those two didn't play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable that they didn't play.
I mean,
play.
You still have Horford and Porzingis. It's not like they're, you know, they don't have any talent when those two don't play. But when they're not out, and yeah, Derek White too, that is true. And, you know, Cam Thomas is out for the Nets. It's not like they haven't been at full strength all year anyway because of what they are. But yeah, that was rough. That was rough.
Well, they just handed the keys to Kristaps, and he took care of business. 25 points, 13 rebounds, leading the Celtics past the Nets, 104-96. Tonight, you get the Knicks and the Spurs from San Antonio. Elsewhere, the Warriors won again, minus a resting Steph Curry. They called it a back issue, but Kerr the other night basically said he's exhausted from carrying the team recently, so he took the night off.
Oh, man. It's going to be tough to play two and a half hours of basketball.
It's rough.
They beat 3-4 nights a week.
All those timeouts during these games.
Yeah, 104-93. Golden State's won.
What does he do?
He shoots
a lot of threes. Yeah,
a lot of threes.
I don't even know if he runs the full court.
He does. He does.
No, I'm just saying. I think he goes from 3-point line to 3-point line.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not saying that he's not running. I think he's running.
Well, sometimes he's got to, you know, run through under the basket to come around off a screen to get himself open for a corner three, you know? They've won 8 of 9 and 15 of 18, so that Jimmy Butler trade's worked out quite nicely for them. Also, a rare rough night for the Cavaliers. They were blasted by the Clippers in L.A., 132-119. That's back-to-back losses for Cleveland for only the third time this season. The NCAA tournament, first four from Dayton. Last hour, we heard that baseball pass, heave, and score to give Alabama State a late lead over St. Francis of Pennsylvania. One last inbounds pass to defend.
Kelly throws it into Moncrief. Three-quarter court heave for the win. No, it's short. And the Alabama State Hornets, the SWAC champions, have won their seventh straight game and are victorious at the NCAA tournament for the first time ever.
The call from the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, 70-68. The final as Alabama State advances to face one seed Auburn tomorrow afternoon in Lexington.
So you know I've been doing this a long time with, you know, Columbia 10 years and Rutgers for 9. The most saddest night I've ever spent was losing that game. Yeah, I would say that's the right way to say it. When Rutgers lost to Notre Dame in that double overtime game in Dayton. So for like these, what's the matter, Eddie? What's the matter?
He's with me. You're like, that's the right way to say it. The most saddest, just the saddest.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Everybody's on you.
All in a bad mood today.
Well, yeah, everybody's a little bit
You get
down
the point
today.
I'm trying to make.
Yeah, okay.
For that team last night that loses that game in that fashion, they're packed and ready for the, you know, to go to the next, you know, site. And then all of a sudden, you've got to go back to the hotel, unpack the bus. It is just a brutal couple of hours, especially for the seniors that are done.
Like I told you yesterday, the University of Maryland has had two of these this year.
Yeah, but
one at home against Michigan State, and one at the Big Ten tournament with Michigan.
But they have the NCAA tournament ahead of them. Yeah. I'm talking about like careers ending and season over when you were minutes away from winning and thinking you're going to wherever the next site would be. I don't know. I know for Rutgers, I think we were going to San Francisco. I think we were going that night, and instead we wound up going back to the hotel. And you got to unpack, and you're so close to winning a couple of times, and then that happens. It is just a brutal feeling. So, as Boomer doesn't care.
No, but I was going to say it. But on the other side of the ledger, it's the greatest feeling in the world because now you are going on.
Well, we know that. Right. Yeah. Elation and devastation.
One team
all
wins,
at once.
One loses.
Elation winners and losers.
That's how it works. Yes. Yeah. Game one last night, you had the controversial at-large bid North Carolina showing the doubters that they're certainly legit.
Cadeau with five of the timer, starts right, zigzag back left, lead a shoot in two, picks out Davis, 30-footer, right wing. It's good!
That's also from Westwood One. R.J. Davis with one of his six threes. He was 6 for 6 from distance on the night, and his Tar Heels led San Diego State by 24 at the break. They cruised to a 95-68 victory. They will next face Ole Miss Friday afternoon in Milwaukee. Tonight, Mount St. Mary's versus American in the 16-seed matchup, tipping at 6:40. That'll be followed by Xavier in Texas. Another couple of 11 seeds, with the winner of that one drawing Illinois.
Jerry,
on Friday
you are
night.
A college basketball
aficionado.
You know, right, aficionado, but also an announcer. And you've seen a lot of these teams up close and personal. You know, I'm a chalk guy. This, I feel like, and I did this in a sportsman, I feel like the ones and twos are going to win here.
A lot of people seem to think that this year.
Right. I don't know. I feel like the top of these brackets are so strong. These teams are so strong.
Yeah.
Who is the most likely upset victim or winner?
The one that I've heard most, the upset victim would be Houston, only because if you run into one of these teams as good as they play defense that hits it from the outside, they just don't score like that. I don't know, but that's what I've seen.
So that would be the one team that you think that could be upset?
Of the ones that could get picked off, yes, okay. From what I've heard. And the one team that most people believe will win the tournament is Florida. They just think that they are the best team top to bottom. So, you know, I don't know. A lot of people like Duke. You know, but again, those are chalky picks.
Yeah, but then again, is Cooper Flagg going to be 100%?
I don't know. He's going to play. I don't know if he's going to be 100%.
Do you think he needs to play in the first game?
No.
He shouldn't have to.
I don't think so. No.
I was just wondering if they can get through two games and then save him for next week.
Now it gets a little dicey.
Tempting fate.
Yeah, I think it's one thing you're talking about. And I know we've seen 16s win. We've seen it a couple, I think, twice now or once, whatever.
Twice.
It's not happening. In this case, I don't know that I would want to go play the weekend without him.
The only other team that, that I've seen, I would say, consistently about winning and upsetting the teams that they're playing is VCU.
Okay. A little Vaught Commonwealth.
They've been a good tournament team over the years.
Yeah, for sure.
Going back to, Shaka Smart, right?
They are 12 or 11.
Not sure.
Or four, I think.
11.
11. They're an 11.
And the 16s, we had two, right? UMBC and then Fairleigh Dickinson, I think, were the two.
Sounds right. Sounds
right.
I
could be wrong. Football joint presser for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins after signing their massive contract extensions with the Bengals. Former baseball player of mine at Marlboro High School, Marshall Kramsky, is now in the business and is a local reporter out there in the Cincinnati area.
How about that?
Teeing up Higgins with a question.
Marshall Kramsky.
That's right. Was quick to interject.
When you see it put out there that you're the highest paid wide receiver, too, how does that make you feel?
1A.
You're saying it's for that.
I'm fixing it. 1A.
Yes, sir.
So Chase letting them know it's not 2, it's 1A. So let's get that right.
That's nice from his teammate.
It was kind of cool. Yes, they were both there at the dais. Joe Burrow, I think, surprised them in the locker room. Big bro hugs.
How far do we go with
them,
that? So. The highest paid blank.
I know. The 2 thing was weird.
You are the highest paid backup guard. It's so stupid.
I've never heard
it. It is really remarkable. Like, you know, for those of us who played for the Bengals, it's remarkable. And then they have to spend the money. So every team has to spend a minimum amount of money. And, you know, they decided to pay these guys this much. Paul Brown's got to be rolling around in his grave. Thinking, what?
Yeah.
It's the business now.
Today's NFL.
But then again, you know, you bought the team for $6 million, and it's now worth $5
billion. That helps.
So I would say, you have to share the
It's worth it, but it doesn't mean they have the cash on hand.
That's right? true.
I mean, that's true. Some teams, borrow, that's tough.
But also their money comes at different times of the year from everything else that the NFL is doing.
Understood.
And I don't know. They finally marketed their stadium. You know, I think it's Paycor Stadium now. I think it's.
But it is
right.
fair to say, though, that teams like the Bengals and compare, or the, even the Jaguars, he's loaded. You know, Jerry Jones is loaded. Like the owners, some owners just have more money on hand to spend.
Yeah, but I also know that a number of owners have chastised Mike Brown in particular, who's, you know, run the team with his daughter Katie and her daughters, but for not marketing the team mm-hmm. more.
Got it.
And, you know, for years it was Paul Brown Stadium. They never sold the naming rights to the stadium.
Yeah.
It was Riverfront Stadium, then it was Paul Brown Stadium, and now I believe it's Paycor. And so they actually finally did, because they knew that they were going to have to start paying these players. So you have to bring in revenue in other areas. And, you know, listen, if you're a football team, and I think this is part of what's going on with the Jets, I don't think the Jets and the Giants financially have done all that well over the last 3 to 4 years because of all the losing that they've done. Mm. So, you know, they have got to excite the fan base. I think the Jets tried to do that with Aaron Rodgers, and they did do it to some extent. It just didn't work out for them. But now I think they're taking a step back and going the other way and looking at what they're doing internally, trying to save money there and hopefully allow Aaron Glenn some breathing room over the next 2 years and then maybe hit it big 3 years from now.
All right, save whatever you have for next hour.
Sure.
Dodgers are winning 6-3.
T. Higgins' answer, but that's fine. We can do that.
Give that next hour. That's fine. Right. You're married. Quick question for you.
For now.
Is there a specific word you can say to your wife that lights her on, like she just...
In a good way or a bad way?
No, bad way.
One word?
If you call her blank, she loses it.
I mean, I don't.
Here's why I'm asking.
I could come up with some words that
Jerry,
I'm sure she wouldn't like.
Here's
it's 100% the C word. No woman wants to call the C word.
You can't get away with
it's
that.
It's interesting that you say that. So I saw this, and I'm going to ask the women to call in and educate five dopey guys. I think everybody would agree that that's the one that gets them going the most.
Gets them going.
There were two females on this Barstool podcast that said, uh-uh. It's another word. And they actually laugh at the one you said.
Laugh?
Yes. And I don't know if any of us would have agreed with that. I'm just telling you what they said, and I'm curious.
What does that word start with?
A C, but it's not the one you're talking about. I don't believe.
Huh.
I'll give you the word on the other side, and then I would like to hear from a couple of ladies to tell me what word fires them up more than any other.
Okay.
I mean, there are words that fire us all up.
But more than any other. This one, like you just
according
said.
According to these two women.
Two young women.
Okay, they're young women.
That laughed off that word.
The C word.
Yes. But which now, most people believe.
But they say there's different another C word.
Correct.
Huh.
I would like to hear from them. 888-808-1019.
My wife names in a derogatory way.
Just women in general, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Okay.
Your wife could just be a woman
so
in general.
So we'll do that next, and I'll kind of explain how we got there. And then also.
This is going to be great breaking this down.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Jerry, I'm looking at eWeather now, and it says that there's a spring snowstorm coming.
No, there's not.
Hey, it's a GFS op model. It says snowfall is going to be ridiculous over the next couple of weeks.
Not here.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I don't know. And wait, I'm sorry. Where are you looking at this from?
eWeather.
eWeather. Yeah, because that's reliable. eWeather. I'm looking at the long-term temperatures on weather.com, which you suggest that I look at.
Yes.
There's nothing less than 50 degrees in April.
All right. Well, we'll see if eWeather's right, or we'll see if weather.com's right.
They can be the foremost authority.
The best ever was Dark Sky, and then Apple bought it and ruined it.
I was not aware. Dark Sky.
Dark Sky was awesome.
So I watched just before the break, I mentioned I saw this this clip online from the Dog Walk Barstool podcast.
Okay.
Hosted by Barstool Eddie. And he had these two young ladies on, and they were having a conversation about specific words and words that will just really piss you off if you're a female. That's the best way I can say
it. Well, I mean... Let's just put it this way. There are words that will piss all of us off.
I agree.
Like if you're a black guy or woman and you use the N-word.
Of course.
I think we all assume that the C-word you're talking about is the word that... I think that if I would ever use that on any woman, they would want to stab me.
So these two ladies, and I would say they were mid-20s. They weren't
young girls.
Young
women.
They're women. They're in their I would say mid-20s, maybe even 30. I don't know.
Okay.
They laughed at that, actually.
I guess the older the woman, the more the different words are going to mean different things.
I guess. Okay. To me, when they were then trying to figure out what word would get them going, came to mind for me would be fat and lazy. Like, I don't think those words would be appreciated by a woman.
Yeah, I don't think a woman wants to hear that she's fat.
Or lazy.
Or lazy.
The word that they both agreed with.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Can we try to guess it? Or
yeah,
no?
You can try and guess. I'll go to Lisa, too. Go ahead.
I'll go to Lisa first, but okay. Let her say
Lisa
it.
In New Jersey. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
All right, we're doing great, Lisa. So what is this word that we're not allowed to say to you guys?
Well, first of all, nobody wants to hear fat and lazy. That's number one.
That's true.
That's true.
Even myself.
Number two, the word has to be crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, I know, because nobody wants to be called crazy, especially a girl.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that big a deal to me, though. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Because no. Everyone says we're crazy. So, well, no, you can't call a girl crazy.
We can. I just don't think it's as bad as the other one.
What about the other C word? I think the other C word's worse.
Like, they literally laughed
it
off.
Yeah, but nobody says that. Nobody ever says that.
I don't know about that.
I don't know that I buy that. I know what you're saying.
I've never been called that personally, so I don't know.
All right, so have you ever really been called crazy personally?
Have I?
Yes.
By a dude?
Yeah. Yes, by a dude. Well, my guess is if a female, like a friend of yours calls you crazy, you guys laugh at that. But if a guy calls you, or your husband or your boyfriend, you get nuts.
Of course.
Okay.
All right, so somebody has called you crazy.
Maybe. I'm not
going to
confirm or deny it.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I appreciate it, Lisa. I really did not. I was surprised by it. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but I guess it is. So.
All right, so Al.
Shows what we know.
You just have your finger on the pulse of this. Crazy or the other C word?
Crazy is a big go-to word for me in an argument. I go to crazy immediately.
And?
It's not the other C word.
Right.
That'd be.
That's why I was so surprised.
But it might be maybe it's the age difference we're thinking about.
Yeah, I would think the other C word has so many connotations to it. You know what I mean? And so many negative connotations to it.
Do you think it goes back to what I was saying before about how comfortable everybody is with language? Like, it's just another word now.
Or maybe like Lisa said, it has been on the off list for so long, it does not even get thrown around there.
I don't buy that.
I also do believe that social media amplifies this as well. Right? So this is where you saw this.
I did. Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's an underlying thing that, you know, women have it within themselves. I've actually heard other women call other women the C word.
To their face or behind their back?
No, not to their face. I think, just in conversation. Oh, she's a, you know, whatever.
A bleep, right. Yeah. From the women I know, that has always been the one word that you do not say or call them. And in my experience, now maybe not in an argument in the way Al is talking about where he will use that, but calling them crazy, I almost feel like it's laughed off. The way these girls laughed off the other word. And maybe it is. It's the age difference, maybe, I suppose. I don't know.
I would think that it is, but it depends on how you use it, I think.
Again, the
voice inflection, the way you use it, if you use another word with it.
Well, don't use both of them together.
If you use like a crazy bee, that kind of thing.
I don't know. All I know
that
is
that could be volatile.
Craig used to, in a playful way, use the bad word, around the office. And the one day he almost said it on the air.
Cookie.
He said to the woman, "What's up, cookie?"
I think I was sitting in here when that happened live. And it's not often you see him turn pale, but he caught himself. And we were assuming that's what he was doing, but who the hell knows?
That's what he was doing.
No, 100%.
All I know is I learn more every day. I don't know anything. I just don't. You would think
the thing about it is, it just goes to show you can learn more by just doing what you did yesterday,
which was by
watching two very attractive young women talk about the crazy word,
which we did, and I did, and I got educated. So,
but again, like I said, if you said it one way,
it may not be taken as an insult, but if you say it another way and you use another word with it, then all of a sudden you're going to get slings and arrows thrown at you.
And you're right, because even like going back to the Cam Hayward stuff, you see something in print, you're like, oh my God, he's going after Aaron Rodgers. Then you hear it, it's really not that big a deal. And we talk about that with headlines all the time. There's so many different ways. There's so many different ways that things can be interpreted. Just one before the break from a dude, as Lisa would say, Kevin in Long Island. What's up, Kev?
Hey, just saying, in my relationship, the nuke is the C word.
How old are you, Kevin?
How old am I?
Yeah.
38.
All right, so you're kind of in between.
All right, so you dropped the C word, not the crazy, the other word.
Yeah, the C-U.
That is a nuclear device in your relationship.
I understand that. And what I was curious is if he was in his 50s or older like we are, but then he comes in at 38. He's kind of right in the middle. So who knows? How about this? Don't say anything disparaging.
It depends on how you say it. Again, nice. It depends on how you say it.
Well,
remember when Tiki was arguing with that caller the other day? And the way he was ripping into him.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that he was mad and he was calling him a jackass.
And you could hear it in his voice,
you
could
hear it. You could tell just how intense he was.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was like he wanted to jump through the radio and strangle the guy.
Exactly. So.